Welcome to WCRS-FM. This is Samson, a.k.a. Mr. Nice Guy. Today on the show, we are going to be speaking with the awesome author and illustrator, David Kucha. We have on the line. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Mr. Nice Guy?
I'm doing pretty great. Thanks for asking. Are you enjoying this lovely weather we're having?
Absolutely. This is my favorite time of year, and that pretty much says it all. I could take this 365 days.
I think we all could. You know, today is pretty much all about you. We're trying to get all up in your business, all the life and times of David Kucha.
I don't want to put anybody to sleep now.
I don't think you would. Tell us a little about yourself, David, and...
Well, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I was born in Columbus and raised in New Albany.
Okay.
Graduate of New Albany High School in 1974.
Oh, wow.
And kind of floundered for a while. Didn't get into art school right away because I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my art. I've been drawing since I was 6 years old. And I'm 56 now, so geez, yay, half a century.
Oh, you're 56?
Yes, just turned 56.
Oh, wow, you don't look it.
Well,
not at
you.
All.
Actually, that's the composite, no. The fun thing is, I've been drawing since I can remember, and people and animals have always been the strongest suit, and comic books were a big, big love when I was a kid. And so I wanted to draw comics, but I didn't know how to go about that. So I kind of floundered when I got out of high school because Columbus College of Art and Design and a lot of the other fine universities in the area didn't really offer what I was looking for. And so subsequently I worked some jobs, did some different things, and kept trying to draw most anything I could to develop some sort of a style or develop my skills.
Mm-hmm.
And met my wife, and we were married in 1979 and moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
That was a very unusual place to live.
Oh, really?
And while we were there for about a year, then I found out about the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon and Graphic Art in Dover, New Jersey.
Okay.
And that put everything on a whole new plane of existence. That was the school that I wanted to go to, and I went there to learn how to draw comic books, basically.
Okay.
So I got into that art and learning the craft and how to be a good draftsman and learning how to develop ideas. But along the way, I got into advertising and found that the field of advertising and graphic design offered a lot more use for illustration work. And it was a lot more challenging and well-paying than trying to draw guys in tights all the time. So from there, it's kind of a whirlwind thing in the fact that I started picking up some clients. I started doing television storyboard breakdowns for some local ad agencies on the East Coast, and started doing several things on my own. And as the business grew, and my wife and I returned to Ohio in 1984, I found that I had sort of an unusual slant on the way I would approach graphic design and advertising, and that brought in some clients, and it led to having a partner, and we co-founded a company called Graphic Onion, and Graphic Onion, illustration and design turned into Graphic Onion Communications, and we handled a whole bevy of things, and that fell apart after about 10 years, and I've been out on my own ever since.
What was the reason for the falling apart?
Well, it's like a lot of different things, and people even tell you that with a marriage when they're divorced is you just run out of gas, and it's quite a lot to run a business. It was challenging. I loved it, and it was it was a lot of fun to do, but it takes a lot of your time, and it's incredibly draining. And so at some point, if you're running out of gas with that, we parted ways. It was a very amicable split, but it was better for us to go on and pursue interests on our own. And so that brought me into a whole new arena of work. So I'd maintained some of the advertising clients that I'd worked with before, and as that work started to flounder, I started to kind of look at, you know, I'd really like to do some book design and some book illustration. And so that brought me up to about 5 years ago.
What was it about book illustration and book design that made you say, you know, this is what I want to do?
Because, you know, in walking through the children's section of any bookstore, you can look at and you can pick up a handful of books and you'll find that almost any topic is covered in a whole bevy of ways. I've seen illustrations that are incredibly simplistic to other illustrations that look like paintings. And the stories, the same thing, whether they're very simplistic or very complicated. It's just a whole realm of possibilities, and I really like that. That was very, very intriguing to me. So I thought, hey, why shouldn't I try this myself? And well, in trying to do that, a lot of times it's difficult without having an agent to make some connections with some of the major publishers. And with the advent of the internet, and with being computer literate, I'm not the most technologically advanced person as far as it goes on computer, but I can get into trouble all by myself.
I don't think you're the only one. I think a lot of us have issues with the computer. I'm still trying to get there myself.
Well, and with doing that, there's a lot of companies available that can help you self-publish, or what's called small press publish, your own book. And having the graphic design background as well, I knew exactly how I could work my illustrations and things together to produce what I hope is a very quality quality product for the public.
Okay. What message are you trying to send, and who are you trying to reach through your art?
Well, that depends upon the topic. If you're talking about the latest book that I've created, it's a children's book called There's a Crazy Dog Under the Palace. And with a book like this, my message is really pretty simple. And it's basically about friendship and second chances and just being yourself, which is something that, you know, everyone has some difficulty with at one time or another in their life.
Sounds very informative.
Well, people ask, you know, they'll ask an artist or a writer or anyone that creates exactly where they get their ideas from. And typically you're going to find out most of the time life is the best source. And the things that you encounter in your life help color the different things that you create.
Right.
And in this aspect, and especially with this book, There's a Crazy Dog Under the Palace, the book came out of two different things. It was from my love for animals and my love for my family. And the love for animals is real easy, having grown up in New Albany as a boy, and always trying to help out the occasional stray dog or cat that I'd find. The love of family is a natural thing, of course, but in my case, there's an unusual twist that really brought the two interests together. And that's really what astounded me. I'd always been curious about my grandfather, Sebastiano Cuccia. I'd never met the man. He immigrated from Sicily to America in 1913 and left the family right around 1933 or 34 and never to be heard from again. So, along the way, I always had the curiosity and the quest to look into my family's roots. That was the whole catalyst that set everything in motion. And of course, this is all unknown to me. I had no idea that all these different avenues were going to diverge into one. So while finding my family in Sicily in 1994 and making three subsequent trips there for some weddings, my cousin Antonino told me a tongue twister. It's a limerick that's taught to all the Sicilian kids. Sotto un palazzo c'è un cane pazzo, te pazzo cane, te pezzo di pane.
What does that mean?
It basically means, you don't know, it basically means there's a crazy dog under the palace, but if you feed him a piece of bread, he's a good dog. Now, there's several different variations of this, and there's several different variations of the meaning.
Okay.
But it's a limerick they teach the kids, and as they say the words, they are more at ease with their language. And so you flash forward, you know, quite a few years, and my wife and I are out walking our dog, Jasmine. Jasmine's a black Labrador that we had rescued from the Franklin County Animal Shelter.
Oh, wow.
And a marvelous dog, but she'd had a really rough first year. And so we always joked and called her Princess Jasmine. And I'm walking along with my wife one day and our dog, and I said, you know, I'd really like to do a children's book sometime, but I'm really kind of at odds about how do I start? You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to write this? I'm not a writer. And my wife just turns to me and just very simply says, well, why don't you use that phrase that your cousin taught you? And I'm like, okay. And she goes, well, you could put Jasmine in there. She could be the main character. Oh. You know, suddenly all the stars align, and you're telling yourself, duh, why didn't I think of this?
Right.
And it really started to write itself from there. And so the impetus started to pick up. I started to have some ideas. What makes the dog crazy? Why does she live under a pallet? And so all of those things just came together. So, again, my goal in creating this book was to stress friendship, second chances, and just being yourself. There's no stereotypes or class distinctions between the rich and the poor, and the book has a nice flow to it. Or as the phrase goes, say, écossais, écossais. It is what it is.
Oh, wow.
So, with this said, also, the nice thing is I feel like I'm on a good track with this because I'm getting really wonderful feedback all the time. And this is from parents, from children, from teachers. It's really been overwhelming to me because they are finding this message and they're taking the book to heart. It's fun. It's made me smile. Your book has a real innocence to it. It's teaching me about trust, charity, and hope. And these are words that I'm hearing all the time. And that really, really makes me happy. But more than that, what I'm finding is that in the conversations I'm having with these people, they're finding that this book is a book of discovery. And this is a chance for children to explore their own perceptions about human nature. They're looking for truth, and they're finding it in the actions of the characters portrayed in the book.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Is this the only book that you have out?
No, I have created several other books. Those were written by a writer and publisher by the name of Malcolm Dealey.
Okay.
And those books are more niche-oriented. They're books with historical value. And the first is a book called Mythology, which is all about Greek gods and goddesses. And the second book is called Ferrum, or Iron in Latin. And it's about the life of a metalsmith named Lucius Silva, working and living in late Republican Rome. And the third book is called Dark of the Sun, and it's about the last days of Pompeii and Herculaneum. So those books were a real proving ground for me that I could not only gear my artwork toward books, but I could also produce books
right.
of a relatively high quality and keep my messages as simple yet as poignant as possible. So when it came to working on There's a Crazy Dog Under the Palace, again, this all came together.
Sounds like it really did. I wanted to ask you, like, so many people that that are trying to find their passion and what they want to do. What was, when you reached that point where you said you wanted to create this book, There's a Crazy Dog Under the Palace, was it an overwhelming feeling you got, or was it like a loud voice? What was that pivotal moment like?
For me, it was, you know, there's times when you find your life, you feel like, I was born for this moment. And, you know, I mean, this is maybe my epiphany. I don't know what it is. But the great thing about it was, with Jasmine, and because my wife and I are such large animal lovers, we have so many photographs of her, her actions, her mannerisms, and any animal lover will tell you that their animal has personality. Well, you know, once you start thinking along the lines in the context of a story, and if the story is good, and it doesn't have to be really complicated, it's just a basic story. And with that in mind, when you can start to imagine and see these things in your head, and you can picture that animal doing these things, it almost writes and draws itself. Now, that being said, it still took me a little over a year to pull everything together. And I wanted to make sure also, because this whole thing stemmed from an Italian phrase, I wanted to make sure that the book is published in two languages, in English and in Italian. So that was very, very important to me. But the images came together for me. The story came together. Writing was really the most difficult thing for me because I don't consider myself a writer. And trust me, anyone you talk to will tell you they have an idea for a children's book. I never really had. But with that said, I sat down and I would start to write the story, and I mean write pages about the story, and then slowly go back, tear away these sentences, and try to keep gelling the ideas down simpler and simpler until I had something that flowed along and made some sort of a silly sense. And I put that together with the graphics I was thinking about, and it really did. It clicked. So I'm very, very pleased with it.
That's awesome. It sounds like you're in a pretty elevated place in your life. How long did it take you to get to where you are?
Well, I mean, it's over 30 years of hard work.
30 years, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, elevated is such a, that's a wonderful word. As far as it goes, I mean,
I try.
Again, well, the things in your life really do affect your well-being. Your love, your passion, the things you care about, all of those things make you who you are. The people you're around, the friends that you have in your life. And I'm very, very fortunate. When we were kids, we used to always complain because my father knew everybody. It seemed like anywhere we went, everyone knew Paul. And
okay.
So he would talk and talk and talk. And I have that gift for gab myself, but we would constantly complain, and he said, if you're ever fortunate enough in your life to have the friends that I have, you'll understand. And I'm very fortunate. Very fortunate. And so those friends, and even goddaughters, helped with a few ideas here and there that I put into the book. Because I started to write something that was very complicated, and again, I just drew on life. And when you ask these people and you bounce ideas off of them, sometimes they can see very clearly the direction you need to go. So trusting your senses is a big thing.
Oh, wow. What about triumph? Were there, like, any obstacles, like, that you had to get over to get to where you are?
You mean in my career?
In your career, yes. In your career and in your life.
I think the largest obstacle has just been exactly what I'm trying to talk about in the book, and that's one of the biggest things. I talked about this book being a discovery, but the discovery was also in myself, because there's a lot of things I wasn't sure I could do. I wasn't sure I could write. I wasn't sure that I could really handle certain illustration assignments, and it's that fear that you always have to try to overcome. So that's the only real thing there. But again, with some maturity, and I think I'm mature sometimes, but with a certain amount of maturity comes a certain amount of resolve and confidence. And when you have that confidence and you can sit down and you start to see some success come from that, it becomes a little bit easier.
Okay.
So the only thing to overcome has been my own fears.
Your own fears.
Yes.
And I think that's with all of us, you know. I don't think you're human if you're not fearful of something.
No. You always need to admit, you know, your shortcomings, but don't dwell on that. Move forward from there. And that's one of the biggest things is, again, and I can't say it enough, I've told my wife, I said, if something happened to me tomorrow, I said, this book, there's a crazy dog under the palace, this is my manifesto. I didn't sit down to preach anything. I didn't sit down to try to draw someone's attention to any certain issue. I just wanted to create a book that was fun, that was colorful, and that would teach kids about friendship and being yourself, and just being yourself. And the best way to do that was not to really talk about it, but to show it.
Oh,
a picture
wow.
is worth 1,000 words. Now, I have about 86 or 87 drawings in the book, so not 1,000. But I've tried to use them very effectively. And so, you know, again, with kids discovering for themselves what self-confidence is all about in this book, that is the most positive thing that I could leave. That's a legacy. And that's something that everyone should try to strive for.
I agree with that as well. That sounds very inspirational, what you're saying. Tell us about David Kucha. What is, like, a typical day for you?
Typical day for me is, well, I don't know, let's see, up around 6:30, just as blurry-eyed as the next person. But typically, I've written some notes the night before about what I'm going to handle and what I think I want to try to accomplish. And I try to lay out a rough outline of what I think I'm going to do. And I try to handle that as best as possible. I don't always reach my goals, but I try to stay very focused, and I try to make sure that I can push ahead. If I have five things planned and I only accomplish three, then I want to do those three as well as possible.
Oh, wow. What do you do in your free time? Do you just, like, get in touch with nature, or...?
Yes. My wife and I are avid nature lovers, animal lovers. So we spend a lot of time with our dog, Jasmine, and we also ballroom dance. That's a large passion.
Oh,
not
wow.
Not competitive. We want to stay married. But we've been ballroom dancing for about 25 years now, 25 of the 33 years of marriage. So that's one of the big loves.
Sounds awesome. How can the listeners and your fans, you know, get your material or find you?
Very easy. I'm glad you asked. they can go online to www.cuccacreative, that's spelled cuccacreative.com, and you can look at a lot of my work. If you want to buy the books, you can go to the online store link, and when you click that and follow the prompts, that should tell you everything you need to know. My email address is on there also, and you can always drop me an email.
All right. Sounds great. Do you have any words of encouragement for
follow
our
your
listeners
passion,
and
follow
for
your passion
parents?
And never look back. People can tell you constantly that you can't do something. You're the only one that knows whether you can or not.
Oh, wow.
Those people aren't living your life, and you need to be determined and follow your gut instincts. They've never led me astray. I knew I could make things work. I knew I had a story to tell, and you might take a different avenue to get there, but it doesn't mean it's not the right avenue. You have to do what's going to be correct for you.
Oh, wow. That is just awesome.
And can I mention also some upcoming events?
Sure, please do. I meant to ask you about that.
That's all right.
Kind of slipped my mind, but go ahead.
I've only had one cup of espresso, so trust me, I need an extra jolt. Well, I am going to have an interview with Mindy Dreher on the Weekend Morning Show on WCMH Channel 4.
Okay.
That will be on Sunday, August the 26th, sometime in the 9 o'clock hour. There's going to be a Bark the School book signing that I'll be participating in at Three Dog Bakery in the Short North, and that'll be on Saturday, September 22nd. And, of course, you cannot miss the big Halloween party at Acme Canine in Lewis Center on October 21st.
Oh, wow.
Those are always fun. And the owners of these establishments are wonderful people and huge animal lovers. So, and anyone wanting more information about that, again, you can drop me an email. I go through my website. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Hey, you know, I'm definitely looking to that myself. I think I would like to come to the Halloween.
It's great. Now, remember, that's Halloween.
Halloween.
Yes.
Event. That, I mean, it really sounds awesome. Mr. Cuccia,
yes.
We want to thank you so much for taking the time out to talk about your book and your life and the wonderful work that you've been blessed us with over
thank
the
you.
Years.
I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. And again, any questions anyone has, I'd be more than happy to talk to them. I had mentors when I was a child. I have a wonderful mentor now, and those things are very, very important. So I'd be more than happy to talk to people.
Oh, we look forward to talking to you and seeing you more, and hopefully we can get you back on the show.
Thank you, Mr. Nice Guy. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And we'll talk to you soon. Everyone, that was David Kucha. He was talking about his latest book, and that is The Dog Up Under the Bridge.
No, there's a crazy dog under the
bridge. There's a crazy dog up under the bridge.
Hey, I'll get you saying it. Don't worry.
He gave you his website. You can email him as well, but we will definitely get him back on the show. But we thank him again, and we'll see him next time.
Thank you.
Everyone, have a great day. Peace and blessings.